Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code HOWIE10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show. The new Aviva in Malden opens today. Now, here's Grace Curley.
Hello, everybody, everybody. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. What a day. The summit is here. Actually, the summit is over. You know, I thought, based off of the slobbering coverage by Jim Sciutto and company, that this summit could go for hours. 6 hours, 7 hours. Well, you never know when it comes to Joe. You don't know how long it's going to last. Well, clocked out at about 2.5 hours. And that tells you a lot about the president's stamina. I want to talk about this summit, and I'm going to open up the phone lines right now because I have a feeling that people are watching this. And like always, it becomes less about the actual politicians and more about the coverage of it. But 844-500-4242. I think we all knew what this was. This is a major PR stunt by the Biden administration, like everything else. That's the funny thing about Joe Biden, is that the media always hated Trump when he did anything because they said it was, you know, photo op, it's optics, it's PR. But Joe Biden knows a lot about that himself. He's always out walking the dogs, you know, drinking his coffee, having ice cream, taking photos, shaking hands, or bumping elbows. The guy's a walking PR stunt. But this one has kind of gone awry. And it makes sense why it went awry. So yesterday there was word, I actually read this during Howie's show, that the Biden administration was trying to lower expectations about the summit, which I didn't think was possible. The expectations I had going into this thing were low. So when you already are expecting pretty much nothing, and then people tell you, hey, don't get your hopes up, we got to rein this back, your expectations, you're thinking, good God, what is this going to be like? But they wanted to let you know that there was not going to be a lot of deliverables. There wasn't going to be a lot that got done. In other words, Russia won't be held accountable for all the alleged hacking, the cyber hacking, JBS, Colonial Pipeline. There probably was not much talk of that. Because what we're realizing about Joe Biden, and some people are realizing it a little bit too late, is that he kind of takes the opposite approach of Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt's big saying was speak softly and carry a big stick. Joe Biden's saying would be speak loudly and nonsensically and yell and threaten to beat people up and call people soulless killers and then carry around a chocolate chip ice cream cone.
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
Like his former boss, Barack Obama, with the red line in Syria, Joe Biden talks this big, big game. He's a tough guy. You know, he rolls with the Andrew Cuomos, the Donnie Deutsches. He could beat you up behind the gym. But then, you know, as the meeting got closer and closer, he started backing off of that and started being a little bit nicer to Putin. And that's weaker than anything else, you know. Trump wouldn't really bash people until he had reason to. But if you go in and start saying, Biden started off his relationship with Putin on the complete wrong foot, and now he's trying to reverse that. He doesn't have any interest in backing up all of his tough talk. Now, that's the reality. What we got from the press this morning, it was like the second inauguration of Joe Biden. These people were getting the vapors. They needed, what do they used to call those falling couches where the women would get the vapors? I need to lay down. Jim Sciutto needed to lay down. Can we get a wellness check on the folks at CNN? Because they're overcome with emotion. And Eddie Scary put this really well. He actually said, I can't repeat on air what he said, but you can check him out on Twitter. But his main point was, these journalists are no longer telling you what you're seeing, what the reality is, the facts. They're telling you what it means to them. You know, they're all David Brookses. It's not enough to say, oh, the two leaders just met and shook hands. It's the two leaders just met and shook hands. And the way Biden looked at Putin in the eyes, I can't tell you what it means to me to have a strong man back as the leader of the United States of America. I have a thrill going up my leg. I'm crying. And it's a total disconnect from the reality of what's actually happening. Jim Sciutto wants you to know that this handshake, the Biden-Putin handshake, was more than meets the eye. Let's do cut 14, please, Jared.
You know, these moments are about moments. And I'll tell you one moment I noticed there in the Biden-Putin interaction. The handshake, Biden looked Putin in the eye with a smile, Putin looked away. Again, you don't want to read too much or too little, but again, these are about public posturing. It's about how you project strength. And that was a notable moment to me as you watched
them
shake
hands. Who goes first? Who extends their hand first?
Exactly.
And there was that moment.
Biden did extend. He did extend.
We were waiting to see if there would be that handshake.
And there was.
And there was that handshake, and it was a significant handshake. It's a good way to start this meeting, and let's see what happens over the next 4 or 5 or 6 hours.
These people are more excited about this handshake and what it means for Joe Biden's presidency than they were about all the Middle East deals that Trump came out with. There was no excitement about that. But he shakes hands. Joe Biden shows that he can put on pants and shake hands with someone. And they're like, have you ever seen anything like this? This is a moment that will live in history forever. They'll write about this. By the way, that was fake news. Like, other people who watched it said they shook hands and then they both kind of looked towards the cameras. That's what you do. It's not like Putin was like, oh, I can't look at him. He's so strong. I can't look at him in the eye. There's too much wisdom in those eyes.
Maybe Putin had to look away so he didn't just bust out laughing.
Right.
Maybe that's what it was.
But that's the major thing for me is how they turn this. And it's why I can't take them seriously. There's a million reasons I can't take the mainstream media seriously. But that's one of them. It's they don't want you to believe what you're actually seeing. They keep trying to build Joe Biden up. And I'm going to give you another example. Nancy Cords on CBS this morning said this about the Putin-Biden summit. Cut 13, please, Jared.
The White House press secretary actually said he's been preparing for this moment for 50 years. There's possibly no other U.S. president who has had as much experience interacting with Russia. He has met with at least 3 Soviet leaders, 2 Russian presidents. He's been sent to Russia since the 70s by Carter, by Reagan, and of course by President Obama when he was vice president. He's got a number of messages he wants to convey to President Putin today. We're told this meeting could last 4 to 5 hours, but when President Biden is involved, you really don't know. It could go longer than that.
Or it could go shorter than that. Right, Nance? It could go a little shorter than that. You probably need an orange Gatorade, so you have to wrap it up a little early. By the way, I'm glad that Nancy Cordes, I'm sorry. No, I don't watch CBS that often, but I'm glad that Nancy brought up his long history as a politician. He's been in this for, 170, 180 years. But I love that she brings this up because when I think of Joe Biden, I think of the comments from Barack Obama's former Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, who said in a book that Joe Biden had been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past 4 decades. And then when Biden decided to run for president and Gates was being interviewed about this, he stood by those comments. That's how passionately, and he loves Joe Biden. He thinks Joe Biden's a great guy. But he couldn't walk back those comments because they are undeniably true. The one that comes to mind, the first one, is Osama bin Laden. Barack turned to Joe, and Joe said it's a no-go, don't do it. Don't go through with the raid. Right there. But they're talking about his long experience in politics and with foreign policy. Like, it's this great thing. Let's play this old cut of Rob Gates. This is cut 21, please, Jared.
And you've been fairly critical of him at one point. You said he was wrong in every foreign policy issue for 40 years. Would you be comfortable with him as commander-in-chief?
Well, I think we'd have to wait and see. I don't want to go down that road with anybody, frankly.
That's a no, by the way. Translation, no. And I love the two different realities. We're on planet Earth, and we're seeing a senile old man walking around with note cards, mumbling about how he's going to get in trouble. Okay? But on planet Press Pass, what they're seeing is a Socratic political savant who is playing three-dimensional chess with Vladimir Putin and winning. In case it's not clear enough, if it's not a stark enough difference for you guys. And by the way, we'll get to this on the other side. There's so much to unpack with this meeting, but there was a question about whether or not Biden could trust Putin, and he nodded his head, and yeah, Michelle Cinder tweeted it out, and then people started freaking out about it, and then she had to walk back her tweet and say, like, oh, you know, they clarified he wasn't saying he could trust Putin. He was just nodding through all the chaos. And there was all of this chaos between the press trying to get in to the meeting. And I'm going to read you guys that from a source who was there. Just everything about this administration screams disaster. And for the sake of the Grace Curley show, it's very fun for us to go through. But as far as the nation is concerned, I'm not feeling great about this. I want to open up the phone lines to you guys, 844-500-4242. We got Libby Emmons coming on at 1 o'clock. We also have tons of stories to get to, including a hilarious story about Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Brian Stelter had a book party in New York, and he had some very, very exciting guests that we're going to go through. So call in 844-500-4242. What do you think of the summit? Were your expectations met, or do you wish the White House had lowered your expectations even further? 2.5 hours, it's already over. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley, she's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, so you guys can call in about the Putin-Biden summit that's already ended, amazingly enough. I was sure this thing was going to go for 10, 11 hours. It took less time than a baseball game. 2.5 hours.
Well, that just shows you Joe didn't say much. He needs at least an hour to complete a sentence.
I think he was probably going, is it time yet for me to get some ice cream up in here? Where's the orange Gatorade? This is not fun. I want out.
Hey, what's Russian ice cream like? What flavors you got?
Putin doesn't look rattled at all, though. I will say that. It looks as cool as a cucumber. We'll keep you guys posted on what happens with these press conferences. They're having separate press conferences, and Putin is going first. Joe Biden is going after. But I wanted to let you know about the media scuffle heard around the world. This was today. The media scuffle was the most chaotic your pooler has seen. So this is a pooler, has seen at a presidential event in 9 years. Journalists pushed and shoved, yelling at each other to move, but no one did. After just a minute or two, Russian security pulled the red rope separating the media from the leader's back to try to keep them away from the president's. Russian security yelled at journalists to get out and began pushing journalists. Journalists and White House officials screamed back that the Russian security should stop touching us. Your pooler was pushed multiple times nearly to the ground as many poolers tripped over the red rope, which was now almost to the ground. Both presidents watched and listened to the media scuffle in front of them. They appeared amused by the scene. At one point, Biden leaned over and spoke to the interpreter and smiled. What's amazing to me is that they even bother, you know, trying this hard when you know that if they get a question, they're going to use it on like What's it like to not have to talk to Orange Man Bad anymore? Joe, any update on the cat in the White House? People want to know. What are you getting Jill for her birthday? So I just don't understand why they're trying to claw their way into this when they're just going to ask stupid questions to begin with. Today's poll question is brought to you by Cape Gunworks. Get dad the gift of a lifetime for Father's Day with a firearm safety and license to carry class from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store to get dad's firearm class at half price today. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who would you rather work for? Amy Klobuchar, Lori Lightfoot, or Andrew Cuomo?
Now, if you missed this story, we're going to do a Masterpiece Theater at some point today. Lori Lightfoot's email was leaked that she sent to a staffer, and it is bizarre. I mean, whenever you see caps locks throughout a whole email, for someone who's under the age of 80, you know that it's not good. So we will read that. Based off the information, though, those three choices, I don't even know if we should have put Cuomo in, because that doesn't even make it fair. I'm going Cuomo.
Cuomo only polling at 24%.
Wow.
65% say they'd rather work for Amy Klobuchar.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread the question. Who would you rather work for? I'd pick Amy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, most people would. I mean, getting a comb thrown at you is better than, you know, getting sexually assaulted.
And the weird part about the comb story, if anyone's missed that, it lives rent-free in my head. I think about it once a day. Is that her staffer forgot to get her utensils for a salad, and so she ate the salad with a comb. But I always say this, and Howie's tried to explain it to me. He's like, yeah, it's meant to degrade the person and show them, look at what I have to do because you forgot my utensils. But she's still the one who has to eat it, you know? She's not forcing her staff to eat it. It just, I could live with that, you know? If I saw her eating with her comb because of me, I'd be like, all right, you're nuts. Enjoy that. Don't get any hair caught in your mouth. But it wouldn't bother me.
For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at you.
Yeah, it's a very spiteful thing to do. I just don't know if it would have quite the effect on me. John, go ahead. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, Grace.
Hey, what's up?
Good to talk to you once again. It's great to hear a young person like yourself on the right side of these things. I enjoy listening to you. I just wanted to say, you know, I thought Obama was bad when he first went overseas and poo-pooed all over American citizens and our history. I think Biden poo-pooed on us times 10 compared to what Obama did. And we're being laughed at. They're using everything against us that they're saying, like the fake white supremacy that's all abound everywhere in America. And, you know, President Trump, the real president, you know, he's one of the greatest gifts he gave us was the exposing the fact that the news is fake.
Yeah.
And the news is covering for Biden. All this slop from Biden and every single Democrat. It's disgraceful, and you can't fake an election. You can't fake any of this stuff without fake news coverage.
Yeah, thank you, John. Jared, not nice. John has a little cough. I agree with you. I think one of the things that Trump always said was the press is the enemy of the people, and they seem determined to prove him right again and again. I appreciate the call, John. When we get back, Tucker Carlson had a monologue last night that is not getting nearly enough coverage in the Brian Stelter Reliable Sources circle, but it's going to get plenty of coverage here at the Grace Curley Show. You don't want to miss this. It's incredible information. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Vladimir Putin is still talking. I guess they asked him what Joe Biden talked about, and he said his family and his mom, or what his mom used to say. There is an element of that that I feel like he's trolling Biden, but I'm sure the press will just, you know, weep at this and say, it's so beautiful to have such a family man in the White House again. You know the drill. All right. So I had teased this earlier and it's totally worth it. I'm not building anything up. I'm not trying to lower your expectations either. Tucker Carlson had an incredible segment last night on January 6th. And when you really think about it, the fact that the mainstream media and the Democrats, they come up with all this information. I mean, it's leak city, especially in D.C. Something happens, they know everything about the person, they have anonymous sources, they have all this. And yet, for their obsession with January 6th, there's still a lot we don't know about that day. And I find this interesting because Tucker breaks it down and we'll play all the cuts. But if the Democrats really did want a commission, I don't know if it would go the way they're hoping it would, based off this segment. I'm going to let Tucker do the talking on this because he's clearly done a lot of vetting of this information and his due diligence. Let's start with cut one on the basic facts of the Capitol riot.
And speaking of January 6th, why are there still so many things, basic factual matters, that we don't understand about that day? Why is the Biden administration preventing us from knowing? Why is the administration still hiding more than 10,000 hours of surveillance tape from the U.S. Capitol on January 6th? What could possibly be the reason for that? Even as they call for more openness, we need to get to the bottom of it. They could release those tapes today, but they're not. Why? We ought to be asking those questions urgently because, as the Attorney General reminded us today, a lot depends on the answers.
Yeah, Byron York had tweeted in February of 2021, and I remember he works for the Washington Examiner, and he puts out these bulletins and stuff, and he had asked a bunch of questions to the Capitol Police. He said, I asked Capitol Police how many firearms were confiscated at the Capitol riot and whether any rioters fired any guns, got no answer. Also asked about Sicknick's death, no answer on that either. Obviously, a lot has come out since then about Sicknick's death. But there was this withholding of information that otherwise, in other situations, I think would be very, you know, out front. Let's also go to cut two here. Tucker's talking about the government hiding law enforcement records from that day and why people involved have not been charged. Cut two, please, Jared.
We know that the government is hiding the identity of many law enforcement officers who were present at the Capitol on January 6th, not just the one who killed Ashley Babbitt. According to the government's own court filings, those law enforcement officers participated in the riot, sometimes in violent ways. We know that because, without fail, the government has thrown the book at most people who are present in the Capitol on January 6th. There was a nationwide dragnet to find them, and many of them are still in solitary confinement tonight. But strangely, some of the key people who participated on January 6th have not been charged.
Yeah, and I noticed this too. They were big on finding, like, they would have this woman who looked like she was your old aunt who was walking into a casino to play the slots in Vegas with, like, a Trump flag wrapped around her shoulders. And they'd post that and say, we need help finding this woman, as if she's this diabolical, you know, ringleader of the entire thing. And there was a dragnet put out for all of these people. And yet some other key figures are not charged. And I also want to say something that always struck me as odd was during the second impeachment when the Republicans said, all right, you know, if you guys want to do this, we'll start asking questions, too. We'll call Nancy Pelosi to the stand. And I thought, and it's obviously not a real court trial, you know, it's political, but I thought it was interesting how the Democrats immediately said, no, forget it. We're going to vote now on this. Because in my mind, that is a very important aspect of this, is what did Nancy Pelosi know? You know, and why wouldn't she want to protect the Capitol if she had information prior? And I'm not saying she did, but I'm saying that's something that we could easily look into with a few questions. Cut three, please, Jared. Tucker is talking about, and now this is where it gets really interesting, because now we're talking about the FBI. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am a critic of the FBI. I know some of them do great things, and I'm not diminishing that. But especially since I really got into politics over the Trump administration, I've been a little let down by the FBI. You know, go to the Lovers, Peter Strzok. There's been Christopher Wray. There's been a few figures in the FBI who I'm not too fond of. So this is where my ears perked up during the monologue. Cut three, please, Jared.
Look at the documents. The government calls those people unindicted co-conspirators. What does that mean? Well, it means that in potentially every single case, they were FBI operatives. Really? In the Capitol on January 6th.
All right, cut four.
For example, one of those unindicted co-conspirators is someone government documents identify only as person two. According to those documents, person two stayed in the same hotel room as a man called Thomas Caldwell, an insurrectionist, a man alleged to be a member of the group, the Oath Keepers. Person two also, quote, stormed the barricades at the Capitol on January 6th alongside Thomas Caldwell. The government's indictments further indicate that Caldwell, who, by the way, is a 65-year-old man, this dangerous insurrectionist, was led to believe there would be a, quote, quick reaction force also participating on January 6th. That quick reaction force, Caldwell was told, would be led by someone called Person 3, who had a hotel room and an accomplice with him.
In other words, and Jared, please correct me if I'm wrong here, these FBI agents infiltrated QAnon, or infiltrated the insurrectionists.
Yes, in this case, the Oath Keepers, apparently.
And helped organize this entire thing? I mean, you're staying at a hotel. You're kind of organizing there, right?
Yep, and Tucker actually gets into that later in the monologue. But yes, like he blatantly says it later in the monologue. But the FBI is not only infiltrating these groups, apparently. They are planning and organizing activities for these groups.
And that's the thing, is I understand that FBI agents infiltrate, you know, secret agents go in and you pretend to be, and there's, I remember watching The Americans. It was a show on I don't know,
it was on FX.
thank you. That's why you have a producer, guys. It was on FX, and I remember the neighbor was part of the FBI, and he had infiltrated, I think, the KKK or, you know, some really bad organization. But I don't understand why they're infiltrating people who seem to be very unorganized and something that could be squashed unless they're trying to help them organize this kind of stuff. Again, this is all conjecture. This is all allegedly. Let's keep going with this. Cut five, please, Jared.
Person two and person three were organizers of the riot. The government knows who they are, but the government has not charged them. Why is that? You know why. They were almost certainly working for the FBI. So FBI operatives were organizing the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, according to government documents. And those two are not alone. In all, Revolver News reported that there are, quote, upwards of 20 unindicted co-conspirators in the Oath Keeper indictments, all playing various roles in the conspiracy, who have not been charged for virtually the exact same activities, and in some cases, much, much more severe activities, as those named alongside them in the indictments. Huh?
Yeah, that's how I feel about this entire thing. Huh? This seems like it would be a big story. I mean, I know we have bigger fish to fry, like how talented Hunter Biden is at blowing ink through metal straws, but this does seem like something that maybe the mainstream media would be interested in.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of articles, I think it was 2 days ago, about Donald Trump's Justice Department looking for records of Democrat rivals.
Yeah, I've seen all those too. Donald Trump's DOJ is out of control. Don't believe me? Just look at Joe Biden's note card. It's written right there.
Come on, guys. Like, can we maybe investigate this?
Well, Jared, I wanna make you feel better about this. Based off what Tucker is saying, he will, and now this is just my prediction. I'm not an expert, but I do pay a lot of attention to the media. The media will paint him probably today, probably tomorrow, probably for the next, 6 to 8 months, as a crazy fringe conspiracy theorist with no evidence, who should be deplatformed, who should be fired, who should not be allowed to speak again in public. And then in about 1 year, Jon Stewart might be doing a comedy set with Stephen Colbert, and he'll say all this, and it'll be wonderful. You know,
it's already happening. Salon: Tucker Carlson suggests FBI operatives organized. Washington Post: Tucker Carlson's baseless conspiracy theory about the FBI. It's already going.
What can I say? I'm not an expert,
Raw,
but I know
story.
My stuff.
Raw story: Tucker Carlson suggests the Capitol riot was an FBI false flag.
Yeah, this is these are the stages. These are the stages for the mainstream media. You know, it used to be that the story comes out, you don't like it, but you cover it anyway. Now what they do is they go after it. They say, hey, listen, this is craziness. This is a conspiracy theory. You know, this is QAnon Central. This is tinfoil hat city. And then the months go by, and then it becomes more obvious. Maybe we get some emails. Maybe we FOIA some records. And all of a sudden, you'll start seeing some stealth edits to those headlines. Read me one of those headlines again, Jared.
Tucker Carlson's baseless conspiracy theory that the FBI organized the insurrection.
That will turn into Tucker Carlson's Tucker Carlson floats theory. They'll take out baseless and they'll take out conspiracy and they'll say Tucker Carlson floats theory that blah blah blah. That's how they do these stealth edits. It cracks me up the timeline that they're on because it's so consistent. It's like a year, 1 year later. There, 1 year later, they'll figure out that Hunter Biden's laptop is actually real. 1 year. And when I say figure out, I don't actually think they don't understand it. But they'll publicly start to come around to the idea. Let's play one more of these. Cut six, please, Jared.
Turns out that this white supremacist insurrection was, again, by the government's own admission in these documents, organized at least in part by government agents. Are you shocked? We're shocked. We shouldn't be shocked. Because in March, the FBI director admitted that the Bureau is infiltrating as many dissident groups that oppose the regime as it possibly can.
And cut seven, please.
There's a huge difference between using an informant to find out what a group you find threatening might do and paying people to help organize a violent action, which is what happened, apparently, according to government documents, on January 6th. That's a line, and the FBI has crossed it.
I am going to keep playing these on the other side because I'm telling you, the further out we get from this thing, it's like everything else with the Democrats. They overplay their hand, and then the truth starts slowly leaking out. And whenever I hear conspiracy theories or baseless accusations or fringe, my red flag goes up for, oh, this is a big story. This is probably true, and this is probably something that the mainstream media doesn't want because they are part of the Democrats. And I'll be curious, you know, as more information comes out, if Nancy Pelosi still wants that blue ribbon commission. She might segue off of this very, very quickly. The reviews are in for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. One user wrote, simple to use and easy to install. Just plug them in. I have three dogs and bought three. I love the change. We've been talking about it for weeks. The Thunderstorm helps with allergies like Jared has. Another satisfied customer says, my basement had a dank smell to it. Within 20 minutes of using the Thunderstorm, the smell was gone. I can testify to that because we cook a lot of steak in my house and it smells, there's nothing like steak on a cast iron. At first, it smells amazing. Then you walk in 20 minutes later when you're done eating and you're full and you feel gross and you smell that and you go, ugh, we got to clear this out. You just turn on the Thunderstorm and bam, it's gone within minutes. And Jared, as far as allergies go, because I don't really have allergies, how does it work with that?
So for allergies, what I like about it is when you plug it in and you turn it on, and that's all you have to do. You don't have to worry about cords. You have to worry about filters, carrying big things, nothing. You just plug it into an outlet. You turn it on and it starts sending out ions, which actually ionizes the air around you. And that means it's creating a super oxygen, which gets rid of allergens and pollutants and some viruses, all the nasty stuff in the air. So you're breathing clean air. And that's huge if you've got all these allergy stuff swirling around you.
It's a small device. It's easy to use, like Jared said, but it is powerful. Order the Thunderstorm today at EdenPure.com. Click on the Grace banner and put in code word GRACE10. That's EdenPure.com, Grace banner, and code word GRACE10. We will be back with your calls and more of this Tucker Carlson monologue. I don't say this often, but this is kind of mind-blowing. And I don't really tend to try to amp up stories. I'm like the Biden administration. I like to, you know, leave you with low expectations and then blow your mind. But if this is all true, and I think Tucker Carlson does a lot of due diligence with these stories, he's not a fake news kind of guy, then I think we got something here. I think something's happening here. 844-500-4242. We will be right back. We're awaiting Joe Biden to come out and tell us about his meeting with Putin. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
I do have to say I wish Putin was able to come out after Joe. Because I have a feeling version of events is going to be very different. All right, we're awaiting Joe Biden's comments. We got Libby Emmons coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, so we'll probably save anything we get from Joe for 1:30. But all together, a great show. And we have a Masterpiece Theater featuring Mayor Lori Lightfoot later in the show. I'm not going to even tell you when, because I know that will keep you waiting. Lou, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, how you doing, Grace? It's been quite a week, hasn't it? I think, and now I think that the global village has now found its village idiot with Joe Biden, that's for sure. But one thing I really do want to say is that Joe Biden made a speech over in Europe criticizing the Republicans and the Republican traitors. It's been backed up by Merrick Garland's inquisition that he unleashed, I think it was yesterday. And the whole thing that's kind of fishy to me is that if everything Tucker's saying is true, the FBI knew that there was this bunch of goofs going to attack the Capitol. Why didn't they let Nancy and the members of Congress know, and the and everybody else, so that they could beef up security? It seems like they almost deliberately let security down so that they could do this thing. Because if the FBI knew, Nancy should have known, and so should everybody else. Schumer and anybody else in Congress, they should have known that stuff, don't you think? So it seems like a bit of a setup.
Yeah, no, I Nancy Pelosi has been set up before. We know that after her hair salon incident. But Lou, no, I'm making light here, but I agree with you. I think those are, if anything, or if nothing else, I should say, those are valid questions. And once again, Lou, if I were working for CNN, I would paint you as a complete conspiracy theorist. You've lost your mind. You're on the fringe. Come back from the fringe. But as a normal person who also thought, maybe the virus from Wuhan came out of the lab that's studying viruses in Wuhan, this kind of connection of dots and reading in between the lines seems very normal to me. It doesn't seem like something that's crazy. And I'm glad you brought up that Merrick Garland, because, Jared, can we pull that sound from yesterday? He was talking about our biggest threat, and it changes every day based off who you ask. You ask Joe Biden, it's white supremacy. Then you ask him tomorrow, it's global warming. Then you ask him the next day, it's domestic terrorism. They change it based off of their agenda. But listen to Merrick Garland yesterday.
According to an unclassified summary of the March intelligence assessment, the two most lethal elements of the domestic violence extremist threat are racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists and militia violent extremists. In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race.
Yeah, it does seem as though if the FBI had people who were helping organize the Capitol riot, then I have a lot more questions. I have a lot. We all should have questions about this, because they were ready to impeach. They did impeach Trump. They were ready to throw him out of office for this.
And Donald John Trump incited the erection.
And you know what? It stunk from the beginning. I'm not saying what happened there, that there weren't bad actors on the Republican side. But some things aren't adding up, and I'm glad Tucker's trying to get to the bottom of it. All right, Libby Emmons from the Post Millennials up next, and we've got more Biden. Don't go anywhere.